Thank you, Rain.
Hi, my name's Lara and I'm an adult.
I'd just like to start off with my gratitude for NA and the 12-step program because it has saved my life today, saved my life and has given me the life that I have today. I'm grateful for my sponsor to be here with me tonight. I'm grateful for Dean asking me to come and share my experience, strength and hope with you all. And I'm grateful for you all making it a meeting. I'm really nervous and excited at the same time. This is my first experience of a London meeting and I'm sharing, so yeah. Here goes, right. I was born in London. My dad moved me out to Essex when I was young. I'm just gonna start at the beginning. I had an older brother and a younger brother and my mum and dad, and we were all really happy. My younger brother died of cop death, and that's when I was about 5 years old. And then when I was six, me and my brother, older brother, we were in a really serious car accident. My mum was driving, we were taking my repair back to the, she was getting the boat to go back to Sweden. A lorry driver fell asleep at the wheel and he crashed into our car, and I woke up at the side of the road and there was all glass sticking out of my brother's head, and that's the last memory I have of my older brother. He suffered severe brain damage and my mum and dad had to decide to turn the life support machine off. And this affected me quite a lot because I blamed that lorry driver. I mentally tortured myself for years for him ruining my family, because on Saturday, May, the 28th of May 1988, I'd been to gymnastics. My dad picked me up. I went home. My mum was staying in bed all the time, and her friends were picking me up from school, so I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what. I went upstairs, saw her when I got changed to go out and play on my bike. And I used to take her tray up to her and collect her tray. And on this day, I went upstairs to collect her tray, and she'd shot herself in the mouth with my dad's gun. So this haunted me for many, many years and made me not be able to sleep. And so when I was 14, turning 15, my first ever boyfriend raped me. Looking back, the first sign of the disease coming out of me was after my second brother died when I was in that car accident. I stopped eating. After I was raped, I started going out, started smoking weed. I started drinking. I thought I was big and clever because I could keep up with the boys and drink some of them under the table. All these events I've just told you, because I believe today that I was born an addict. And these events helped with the progression of the disease in me. I started going raving about 17, doing pills, like smashing pills. I loved it, absolutely loved it. Started sniffing a little bit of coke. I remember that the pills, what made me go on like doing more cocaine is I'd done about 15 pills in one night, and I was laying in bed a week later and I got this mad rush and it made me jolt up. And I swapped from the pills and started doing more cocaine. I was on that for many, many years. My boyfriend at that time was a dealer. That's how I met him, because I used to buy pills off him and deal them to my friends, because then I'd get mine for free, make a bit of money on the side so I could go out raving. And I was with him for about 5.5 years. I left him because he said something I didn't like. I had a really nice life though, at the time. I had a mortgage, didn't get that in a legal way. I didn't work or anything like that. And I decided that because he'd said something he didn't like, he wanted to settle down, he was a bit older than me, he wanted to settle down, get married and all that. And I was just like, no. And I went to visit my best mate in Greece and his fiance, I was only supposed to go out there for a month, and I ended up staying out there for a year, and I thought this is great because I wasn't sniffing coke, I wasn't doing pills, I wasn't smoking weed, but I soon turned to alcohol. Didn't matter, like, whatever I did, I just smashed it to pieces. I came back from Greece, I was about 24, got back with my childhood sweetheart, and yeah, I'm going to talk a bit about relationships. I was with him, and like, he was a dealer as well. Like, he weren't back in the day, but yeah, we had businesses and stuff like that to cover up illegal activity. So I had cocaine on tap. I was a cokehead for many, many, many years. I used to use it to make me not eat. If I did eat, I'd do a line so it'd make me sick, because it was easier for me to hide from my family rather than sticking fingers down my throat. When I turned 29, like, all these years I've known this guy from the age of 14. He'd been in my life, like, the whole time, even when we weren't together. Like, he was the one as far as I was concerned. And when I turned 29, he started hurting me. Like, he never punched me. That's what I used in my head, is that, like, oh, he's not punching me. But I've got scars on my face. He chopped all my hair off when it was in a ponytail, and I was sitting on the toilet, like, loads of stuff. And it was really hard for me to get my head round, because I'd known him all this time, and he'd never laid a finger on me until then. And I finally got the strength and I left him. I was 30, just turning 30. Yeah, I was 31 when I left him. And I went back to my dad's, and then I've got bipolar as well. And do you know what I've found hard in recovery a little bit, is when people turn around and say, oh, when you put the drugs down, your bipolar will be all right. Like, that's down to my doctor and my psychiatrist, not other people to tell me. Okay, because with some people that's true, but with me it's not. So when I turned 33, I found crack cocaine, and that was it for me. I felt content when I took that. I loved uppers because it meant I'd stay awake, and I wouldn't, because I used to have, obviously, for obvious reasons, a repeated nightmare of finding my mum. So I was too scared to sleep a lot of the time. So anything that kept me awake, I loved. But when I first did crack cocaine, it was like everything was just, I was content with the whole world. I could face anything, absolutely anything. This soon, like, took absolutely everything from me. I pawned all my jewellery, because I did have money when I first started. That soon went, then I pawned all my jewellery, until basically I had absolutely nothing. So I was out in shops nicking meat, nicking alcohol from shops, anything just so I could go and school. I ended up getting a habit as well, so I smoked heroin as well. I didn't do that for quite a long time, but I used to get so wired because I smoked so much crack that I fucking needed something to calm me down so I could go out on the rob. And I remember, like, I dropped all my family. They were like, I didn't want them to see what I'd become, and I dropped all my good friends, obviously. Most of them were cokeheads anyway, but I met this guy, and this is the first time I've ever done this, but I met this guy, yeah, and he didn't smoke, he didn't drink, he didn't take drugs, he had his own business and a nice house, and I thought, yeah, he'll fix me, he'll get me away from all these people I'm hanging around, because I'm not like them. And so I got with him, and I got, let my family, like, sort themselves out, sort of, but not really. Shit. Yeah, basically, he was a complete control freak, so that wasn't a good idea. I come into recovery the first time in December 2015, and I was in London, funnily enough, in West Ham, in a stairwell, smoking crack, addicted to heroin, and smoking heroin, and my granddad lived around the corner, and, yeah, I didn't get it the first time I come in. I did the steps, my sponsor relapsed. I didn't work on myself internally whatsoever, really. I don't know how, I was in pain, a lot of pain. until I was already... The last thing I think of a relapse is like picking up. I was already spiritually gone. I thought God of my understanding owed me, like it should be my turn to be happy. I was angry, very angry. When I relapsed, I went back out there for 6 months. I came back into recovery last year. I've been clean for 1 year and 2 months and 17 days today. Yeah, I gave it my all. Like, I can't do this for anyone else. The only person I can do this is for me. I smashed my 90 meetings in 90 days. Like, I did more. I've got my lovely sponsor over there. I now know what it's like to have a real relationship with a sponsor. And her being here tonight, this is how... Like, I lost my... in recovery, yeah, my step three is the most beautiful step ever to me. Having faith and trust and handing myself will in all areas of my life today, because the disease of addiction affects every area of my life, not just drugs. Drugs were my solution to the hole in my soul for me to deal with the world. Today I feel that I've got my understanding. Last year I went to India with NA. Do you know what I love about NA is it's all over the world, and I'm at home. I can go anywhere, and I'm at home with you lot. It's great. I love it. That's how I met Dean in Croatia. Yeah, do you know what? My favourite part of going to an NA convention abroad, like India was my first one. I done in September last year. Is being in the sea, doing my prayer and meditation, looking at the vast world. And then like the sea, it just goes on forever, doesn't it? And then looking at the world, it's beautiful, it blows my mind. Do you know what, when my granddad died, right, this was my biggest fear for many years, because my real mum that I lost was an only child, so I had a really strong relationship with him. And when I was out there in that madness, I used to have the fear. I used to be like, yeah, my head was like, you're gonna have to lock me up, like, I'm gonna go mad. I'm sitting here in front of you today clean. I lost him on Easter Sunday this year, and I felt God like holding me, carrying me. His program's beautiful for me. How much longer have I got with it? I got into a relationship at 90 days as well. That's not...
3 minutes, yeah.
Basically, what I'm trying to say with that is it's not suggested to do that, but we all do it, don't we? I was still learning to love myself, because I didn't have any self-worth, because losing my mum and her doing what she did made me feel like if my own mum can't love me, how can anybody else? My self-worth is growing today. I have a beautiful life today. The simplest things blow my mind. Like, I went to a ladies' meeting last Saturday. I live in Leicester now. I shared about being nervous about coming to do this. And at the end of the meeting, my sponsor was there. She was like, you never guess what? This is how God works in my life. That's my first ever meeting I went to. I'm going to be in London and I'm free. How mad is that? I love it. It's beautiful. I could never sit in the present moment. I'd be like, woo, scattered around everywhere. Like, me sitting here present with all you lot today is like beautiful for me. My advice to newcomers, you have to want this for yourself and just do everything that's suggested, because that's what I do today. And I go to people that have got something that I want. I love life today. And I love NA. I absolutely love it. And I love having God of my understanding in my heart and giving me strength and courage to do this. I'll leave it there. Thank you.